Erica's Femme Day. Part 4. This is Miss Tara, 1-800-356-6169, www.kinkyroleplay.com. This is a script by Y Guys 1. Finally, Eric had finished dressing for his party, whose first guest should arrive within minutes. He hated each day, repeating the ritual of donning what was once only female attire, reaffirming his mental and physical unmanning. But this function loomed over him more foreboding than any of other Sandra's forced cross-dressing requirements. One last time he viewed the attractive figure in the mirror. From now on, deeply hidden recesses kept in control by his training, Erica felt a faint residue of masculine urge. He kept yearning that the damsel in the mirror was a real girl, wishing he could grab someone like her and rediscover the joys he'd once thought were man's rights. But Erica's manly instincts were now quite weak and fleeting. What Erica's mind settled upon at last was almost entirely the feelings of the humiliation and fear forged in the spirit of his new identity. As his soul took in the figure staring at him in the silvered glass, oh, how he wished it was not he who was the delightful feminized vision he saw. Little more than an hour prior, Sandra had gifted Erica with the first of his birthday presents, his new maid's uniform for the occasion. The uniform was constructed of finest, festive, shimmering deep burgundy and ebony satin, with a touch of glistening wine metallic highlights interwoven in the burgundy panels. It featured dusty rose lace trim on the hem, sleeves, wrists, and very low-cut bodice. The ruffled lace half-petticoat was voluminous, but not overly so, in the same dusty rose hue. It was designed to give only moderate and tasteful flair to the costume skirt. Erica's satin lace panties matched the burgundy and black dress. The hem of Erica's party uniform reached nearly to the top of Erica's knees. It was a faintly longer skirt than his other French-made outfits. Erica envisioned it would make Erica appear much more dignified this evening than merely the tart-like serving wench she had made him become. Also, the new uniform was extremely tailored at the waist. So for foundation, Sandra had to lace him into a brand-new custom-made matching burgundy and black corset, more than a size smaller than that which Erica normally wore. Also, the corset forced his breasts upward and inward from the sides of his ribcage. His breasts jutted out, much of the tops well exposed, firm and perfectly formed above the top of the corset. Sandra, losing her composure, excitedly leaned over and cupped Erica's perfectly formed mounds, kissing and tickling them gently with her tongue, whispering, "Damn, Erica, you're so freaking hot! Do you realize I have you bound to a 22-inch waist? You look fantastic! And oh, what this corset does for your tits! Oh, jeez, thank God I put you on hormones. I am so getting your dosage increased. You are fucking luscious, girl. Oh, I could just... Ah! Oh! Mmm!" And then Sandra caught herself going somewhere not helpful to Erica's training. She fought her lustful instincts and curtailed her breathless excitement. Upset that she had let her guard down, Sandra regained her command, sternly gazing at Erica, she taunted very angrily. "My, my, holy Lois Lane and her caped and aproned supermaid. Why in hell did we women for ages let ourselves be subjugated to your sex and put up with your male's phony macho behavior? Finally, things are being set straight. Erica, there's nothing about you that screams anything but sweet, sensual, submissive feminine weakness. I doubt you and any of you bitch males were ever really the men you made believe you were you?" Frightened by Sandra's unexpected bold outburst, some of Erica's hypnofeminization training took over his psyche. He lowered his head, curtsied, and fearfully responded with a few concepts now lodged in his conscious and unconscious mind. "Yes, Master Sandra, females are the only true sex. Males are a subsex. Males are the naturally inferior, weaker sex. Males wrongfully forced feminine submission on females, because we knew it was truly more natural to ourselves. We should be punished if we ever falsely act like men. Females rule, males obey." Sandra, after hearing Erica's trembling catechism of debasement, was content. Her momentary lapse had given Erica no lasting idea of importance or male equality. She snapped, "All right, enough, male cunt. Finish your dressing. Still, be pleased that I do think you look particularly acceptable tonight, just as I expected you should be. My friends had better be overwhelmed at your feminine charms and obedience. However, do not forget your place. The world does not need haughty males, even with what they're boasting of as their natural girlishness. After lacing Erica in, Sandra ordered Erica to get busy applying nighttime party makeup, to adorn his hair with the new matching hair ribbons, and to put on his new dress uniform. Then Sandra handed Erica two more gift-wrapped packages. As usual, Erica feared punishment and feigned rapture and thankfulness as he opened them, though deep within his spirit sank. One box held a lovely solid gold necklace and earring set. Each piece featured intertwined modified planetary Venus and Mars sex icons, with Venus being notably sturdier and larger. However, the plus size of the female symbol and the arrow of the male symbol had reversed positions on their relative circles. The female symbol now angled upwards at 45 degrees, boasting of a new sex that considered herself erect and ascendant. The male arrow pointed vertically downward. Besides being crafted to appear more fragile and finer than its female counterpart, the arrow was slightly curved. There was no way one could see it represented as anything other than the flaccid and increasingly useless male penis. On a grander scale, it emphasized the submission of the male to the female in society. When Sandra bought it, she felt these very suggestive meanings added to the jewelry's value and beauty. The other box held Erica's party footwear. He gasped at the sight of the burgundy pumps with rows of black and gold bows, accenting the shoe's vamps. But they must have had a 7-inch heel, at least a full inch more than anything Erica had ever been forced to wear. Andrew detected Erica's inner negative response. "Oh, don't you give me that look, young lady. I'll give you something to pout about. You've got little more than an hour to get used to the height of your pretty pumps, and get used to them you shall. I want you to be perfectly poised in you serving them tonight. Do you understand? If you embarrass me before my friends and associates with any masculine clumsiness, Missy, you'll spend a month, day and night, locked in 8-inch heels. Is that clear enough for that pitiful male bubblehead of yours?" Erica sighed, begging pardon as he curtsied. "Oh, yes, Master Sandra. Please forgive me. I love my new shoes. My new heels are so lovely. Other males would be so envious seeing me in them. I will make you proud tonight. I'll do and be my girlish best, serving gracefully and obediently at the party. Oh, thank you, Master Sandra." Sandra smiled at Erica's temerity. "That's a much better attitude, sweetie. See how much nicer things can be when you acquiesce femininely in all you do?" Sandra turned and left Erica to finish dressing and preparing his girly party persona, thinking how wonderfully tractable and totally fearful of female authority her once arrogant husband had become. She reveled in, just now, how life is so good for women. End part one. This is Miss Tara, 1-800-356-6169. And thank you, Why Guys One. I love this script.